Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
And so here at Nations Church, one of our cultures is that we're about others. We're about others. How many of you are so glad that at Nations Church we're not about ourselves? How many of you are grateful for that, that we're not about ourselves? And that's who we are. That's who we believe that Jesus Christ has asked us to be. The world wants to teach us to be about ourselves. The world wants to teach us to be selfish, to consider ourselves first, about how comfortable we feel, that our feelings matter more than anyone else, that our point of view is more valid than anyone else, that our opinions are better than anyone else. But how many of you know that if that is the basis of which we live our lives, where we are the center of our own universe, how many of you know that having relational wholeness is an impossibility? How many of you know that it is absolutely impossible to have whole relationships when you are the center of your own life? But when you live as if your life is actually about others, you give yourself every chance to live a life where you can have whole relationships. Because it is abjectly impossible. It's absolutely impossible to have a healthy relationship with someone who's inherently selfish. Because yourself was not created to be the center of your universe. You will destroy yourself if yourself is at the center of your life. Do I get a resounding amen? That is not the person that Jesus died and rose again for you to become, a person that is all about yourself. And while Jesus walked the earth in the Gospels, he showed us the life-transforming power that it is in us through Jesus Christ if we're to live our lives about others. Noticing others, seeing others. There is actually a life-transforming power that can flow through us when we live our lives being about others. So we're going to go to scripture today, Luke chapter 19. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he was a little guy. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, say looked up, and saw him, say saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, being the crowd, they all complained, saying he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Today, I want to speak to you on the thought, be the first to cross the room. Be the first to cross the room. The expression crossing the room is not like a literal thing, but it's a metaphoric expression to describe making the first move, taking the first step. I mean, I want to unpack this today because it's very, very important for us to understand the heart of Christ. That if we are to consider ourselves as believers, as Christians, we ought to live like he lived. Amen? And so here Jesus demonstrates something very powerful in this account. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. In that first century, under Roman rule, Israel the Romans loved to work with locals and used locals to betray their own people. And Zacchaeus was a Jew. And so he was a Jew, but he was tasked with being a tax collector. And part of what he did was to collect taxes from his own people on behalf of the Roman Empire. Follow me so far. But the way that it was set up was slightly corrupt because the Roman Empire would benefit more if the tax collectors collected more than was due the tax that should be collected. And so Zacchaeus' incentive was to collect more taxes. And when he collected more taxes for the Roman Empire, he got a bit of a kickback. You understand what a kickback is? It was an incentivized way of getting profit by ripping off his own people. So how many of you know immediately this sets up the kind of character that Zacchaeus was? He was not liked by his own people. He was not an integrous man. And so he was despised for his occupation. He was probably also easily overlooked because of his height. He was a short guy. I don't know why the Bible tells us that he was a short guy. Maybe he had little guy syndrome. I don't know, right? But he was a short guy, so it was highly likely that he was easily missed or not noticed. And so here he was. He was a short guy. And Zacchaeus himself would have been aware of the kind of person that he was. The Bible tells us that he was rich materially, but he was probably quite poor relationally. He had a lot of money, but he probably didn't have a lot of friends. Isn't it true for us sometimes here in the West that we might have a lot materially, but we might be quite poor relationally? We might have cars and houses and all of these sorts of things, but we might be able to count our money, but we actually don't have a lot of people we can count on. Hello. And so here is Zacchaeus, and we understand now who he is, and a little bit of context around that. And maybe you're here today, and the sense that you've got is that I don't really have many people that I can count on. See, the greatest wealth a man or a woman can have is to be rich in the currency of healthy relationships. Because on your deathbed, your cars, your houses, that nice kitchen bench, those new shoes, that bank balance, that fit body, that beautiful face that you invest so much money trying to beautify will count for nothing. Because at the end of our lives, it's the quality of our relationships that matter. And so maybe this short guy called Zacchaeus knew in his heart of hearts that because he turned his back on his fellow Jews, he might have been rich materially, but he was poor relationally. He was on the outer. And Jesus now, in this interaction with Zacchaeus, revealed the second most powerful need in the human soul, the first being in right relationship with God. Jesus revealed the second most basic and profound need in the human soul, which is to have relationship with each other. And Jesus became the first to cross the room with Zacchaeus. Not literally crossing the room, but he made the first step. Zacchaeus was on the outer. He was short. He was not liked. He probably didn't want to push through the crowd. So he thought, maybe if I could just catch a glimpse of Jesus by climbing this tree. Jesus could have ignored him. He had a massive crowd. In fact, Jesus probably knew who Zacchaeus was because he called him by name. Zacchaeus had probably ripped his own family off, Mary and Joseph, of their taxes. Hello. He was well known in town. He was not liked. And yet Jesus was the first to cross the room. All around us, every day, there are Zacchaeuses, people that want to know about your faith. People in the office, people in your street, in your neighborhood, there's Zacchaeuses all around you that may be lonely, that may be wondering, why are you, who is this? Who is this Ross and Wendy Dowling couple? They're always so happy. Who is this Louisa Brown that every time she comes home, I see her outside my window and there's like this massive loud laughter and this big cheesy smile. There are Zacchaeuses all around us that are wondering what you've got in your life. And are waiting for you to cross the room. Waiting for you to make the first step. They're standing on sycamore trees called online church. Logging in the privacy of their own bedroom to see what are these Christians up to on a Sunday. Maybe the Zacchaeus right now in this room came in a little late and is sitting out the back. I'm not saying you guys are Zacchaeuses or short or anything like that. But they come in like 15 minutes after the church service starts and they will leave as soon as I get you standing and get the musicians up. Are you going to be the first to cross the room? Yeah. Wow. Somebody needs to cross the room first. Why can't it be you? Yeah. Somebody needs to cross the room for the Zacchaeus is in your world. Why can't it be you? Luke 19 verse 5 says this, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today we're going to hang out at your house. Jesus looked up and saw him. Let me ask you this question. When you come to church, do you look up and see others? Do you look up and see people? Come on, are you out there? When you're walking your dog down your street, do you look up and see your neighbors? When you get your coffee from the brewery, you're getting real quiet now. Do you look up and see the person that's serving you? Or are you seeing your own issues? Seeing your own problems? Can't see the past, the end of your own nose for all of your own stuff. And wishing that, I wish someone would talk to me. I wish someone would approach me. I wish someone would meet my need. I wish someone would give something to me. Why can't we be the first to cross the room? Why can't we be the first to look up and see the Zacchaeus in our world? Here's the thing, Zacchaeus, he was not liked. He was an unintegrous man. He was marginalized. No one liked him. To make matters worse, he was short. There's nothing wrong with short people. But the way the Bible describes it, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like he was easily missed. But here's the thing, the word Zacchaeus, that name Zacchaeus, literally translates to meaning pure or innocent. He was far from pure and innocent. And yet Zacchaeus looks up, sees him. And now Jesus interacted with a lot of people in the Gospels and they're often not named. It's usually like a woman approached Jesus or a blind man approached. Makes sense to you. Yeah. But in this instance, the writers of the gospel chose to name him. Jesus looks up, sees him, calls him, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree because I'm going to hang out at your house. It was like the crowds following him stops. Jesus looks up, sees him, and says, pure and innocent man, come down. We're going to hang out. When you are the first to cross the room, the power of Christ in you compels you not to see people for who they are, but who they can be. If you're the first to cross the room, you're going to call out destiny in people. You're going to call out the man or the woman that God, the way you will see them, the way God sees them, not the way they see themselves. Zacchaeus would have known that I'm not liked. I'm a tax collector. These people don't like me. They don't receive me for who I am. And yet Jesus is pure and innocent man. Come down, we're going to hang out, and it transformed his life. Be the first to cross the room because you don't know what kind of life transforming power that you've got with the Christ that is in you. I remember last year I experienced firsthand. I experienced firsthand what it was like to have someone cross the room for me. Like it was incredible. Now, part of my job as pastor is to just catch up with people. I catch up with people all the time. Mel Fletcher, she's my PA, and she will book in sometimes, back to back to back. People catch up with me for all manner of reasons, and it's always, and I love it. And every time we catch up, we chat, and I'm always asking, tell me about you. What can I do to help you? How can I support you? That's my default, because I'm a pastor, 17 years. I've got this muscle memory, right? Tell me about you. Tell me about your family. And it's always, you know, we catch up and we'll talk and they'll tell me their life story. And it's usually something like, oh, PK, I want you to conduct our wedding. Oh, fantastic. How can I support you? PK, can you conduct the funeral for a family member? Oh, of course, I'll help you with that. Or PK, you know, I have this cause, this charity that I'm really passionate about. You want to support it? Oh, tell me a bit more about it. Fantastic. Or PK, we're leaving the church. Oh, is that, oh, you know, next week. PK, we're joining the church. Fantastic. Tell me about yourself. Fantastic. We chat. Blah, blah, you know. Or I've written this book. Can you sell it? I've written this song. Can you sing it? You know, I've invented this product. Can you sell it? Yeah, we'll chat. It's all good. I love it. It's part of my job. We'll catch up and, you know, we'll talk about that sort of stuff. But last year, I had like a couple new to the church, and they said, Rung Mel Fletcher said, we would like to take PK and Chrissy out for dinner, which is, again, not uncommon. And we chatted, and we went out to this Italian restaurant, and you know, I was fully mentally prepared driving there with Chrissy. Said, come on, let's just ask them about themselves and really get to know them. It'd be fantastic. And, you know, maybe they'll ask us about how we can help them. Great, let's support them. So we got in there, and we started to chat, and as the night began to progress, I realized that it was nothing like that at all. As we began to chat, so Chrissy was talking to the wife. It's actually Fiona and SK. They're not here. I don't know if they're here. Chrissy was talking to Fiona, and I was talking to SK. And as the night began to progress, I realized they didn't want anything from us at all. And there was a point in the night. I'm getting emotional. I don't know why. I never get emotional. He just said, PK, how are you? How are your kids? And I just, I'm not used to that. Yeah. That he would actually cross the room for me and ask me about me. How are you? Now, I wasn't in any particular need in my life. I wasn't going through a hard time. It was just really moving that someone just stopped and said, how are you? Tell me about your kids. How are they doing? So everyone had left the restaurant. We were still chatting. It was like 10:30 at night. The Italian guys were trying to kick us out. But it was such a moving moment because someone crossed the floor and crossed the room for me. Our family immigrated to Australia in the late 80s. And, you know, I remember the first one or two Sundays of being in Perth, we visited a church called Willerton Assemblies of God. Now, who names a church like Willerton Assemblies of God? That's the most ridiculous name, but it was really cool back then. And so we happened upon this church, and we were like the only Chinese Asian family to walk into this church, right? Awkward as. So we were in this congregation, and like it was probably 150 people or something like that. And I still really remember the first real Australian people that our family ever talked to was a couple by the name of Tony and Kerry. They crossed the room for us, introduced themselves to us. Asked us out to lunch, and in the chats, Dad opens his big mouth and says, oh, my son plays the guitar, you know? So from there, Tony was like a home fellowship group leader. He pounced on me. Like the next week I was like, I was the only kid in this like adult, like our current connect group playing guitar. And that was actually the first time I actually played guitar and led worship in any kind of context. And he crossed the room for us. If someone was going to cross the room, why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? Now I understand Hebrews chapter 13, why the writer of Hebrews says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving. In other words, you don't just do it occasionally. And it says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Do not forget. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, we know we should do it, but sometimes we forget. We know we should do it, but we get too busy. We know we should do it, but we forget because we're so caught up with our stuff. We know we should do it, but we forget. And it's not that our intentions are bad. We just get so all about ourselves. And God put Zacchaeuses all around us. Hello, you guys are getting real quiet. There are Zacchaeuses all around us. It's just that we forget to practice crossing the room first. You know, apart from just being busy and all those sorts of things, I reckon there are some significant barriers to us being the first to cross the room. And I reckon for me, what stops me from crossing the room 100% of the time is ego. It's ego. Ego is this my own estimation of my own self-worth. And how many of you know that being left to my own devices, me estimating my own self-worth will always be grotesquely distorted? Jesus was the first to cross the room to speak to Zacchaeus because Jesus had no ego. All of his own self-worth was deemed by the Father. Makes sense to you? He said, I only do whatever I see the Father doing. I only say whatever I see the Father saying, etc. He was in the Father and the Father was in him. He had no ego. Whereas what stops me from being the first to cross the room is always my ego, because the ego will be the one that says, oh, you shouldn't talk to them because you're better than them. Or you shouldn't talk to them because they're better than you. Hello. How do you know that if your ego is constantly in play, you'll never be the first to cross the room? Your ego will always say, oh, you know, you should wait for people to come and talk to you first. Because your egoic self is a narcissist. But your redeemed self, the Jesus on the inside of you, has no ego. The Jesus on the inside of you will always compel you to be the first to cross the room, because the Christ that is in you doesn't make it about you. The redeemed you makes it about others. Kill your ego and you'll always be the first to cross the room. I reckon the second barrier to always being the first to cross the room is self-consciousness. Mel talked about being shy. How many of you consider yourself a shy person? You're so shy, you don't even put your hand up. That's the worst thing, is to ask, are you shy? Because they'll never respond. How many of you are like fabulous and extroverts? 7 hands, all the hands, 8, 9, 10 hands, all hands going up. Come on, how many of you like feel like you're a little bit shy? You're quite self-conscious. I'm quite a self-conscious person. But you know, self-consciousness is an absolute lie, because self-consciousness tells you that you should not cross the room first because they're going to reject you. It's actually, self-consciousness is the front for a greater dysfunction called the fear of rejection. And self-consciousness will tell you, don't be the first to cross the room because they're not going to want to talk to you. And so the enemy keeps sowing that lie into everyone. And so if everyone's self-conscious, no one's crossing the room, there are no healthy relationships. It's an impossibility. But self-consciousness tells you that, you know, see, for me, when I think about self-consciousness, it was actually one of the very first dysfunctions after the fall of man. Being self-conscious, it's always the undue awareness of our deficiencies, our vulnerabilities, and our flaws. So if you're a self-conscious person, you're not conscious about how awesome you are. You're actually conscious about all the things that you think you're not. Hello. Totally unaware of their own nakedness, Adam and Eve, as soon as they ate of the fruit, one of the first dysfunctions they felt was self-consciousness. Adam, where are you? I was naked, so I sewed some fig leaves and I hid from you. To which God said, who told you you were naked? How did you become conscious of yourself when all along in relationship you were conscious only of me, that you hid from me? This is how I know when someone's really self-conscious: they avoid me. They avoid you. Hello. That's how you know when someone is really self-conscious. They actually avoid you. Because the voice of your self-consciousness never paints you in a positive light. It never tells you your identity in Christ. Your self-conscious voice will only ever tell you, you're not good enough. You're awkward. You got bad teeth. Your skin looks terrible today. Your hair looks bad today. Why would anyone want to talk to you? But self-consciousness takes your eyes off all that he is and puts it on all that you aren't. That's what self-consciousness does. And if you struggle with that today, I want to say this to you today. Jesus wants to free you from it. Because you weren't created to be conscious of yourself and all the things you aren't. You were created to be conscious of him and all that he is. Be the first across the room. We avoid people when we're self-conscious. But if you're self-conscious and you keep avoiding people, you'll never have healthy relationships. You'll never make new friends. You'll never practice hospitality to strangers. You can never be Christ to a Zacchaeus in your world. But be God conscious and you'll always be the first to cross the room. Be God conscious. This is helpful to you guys. The third barrier, I reckon, for me in being the first to cross the room is pride. See, I'm not just, when we're talking about being first to cross the room, I'm not just talking about being the first to cross the room when it comes to a stranger. How many of you know that we also need to be the first to cross the room for our existing relationships?
Yeah, come on.
Especially when somebody hurts you.
Yes.
I'm talking about being the first to cross the room when your mother-in-law does something to hurt you. Being the first to cross the room when the work colleague that you've been working with for the last 6 years takes the credit for the job that you did. Being the first to cross the room. Hello. Being the first to cross the room when someone that is close to you has been unkind to you. Being the first to cross the room. Oh, I'm going to go there. You're going to hate me for this, but I'm going to go there. Because it's good to be relationally healthy. And for me, being the first to cross the room with someone that I know very well, who I think has wronged me, has at times been one of the hardest being the first to cross the room moments in my life. Hello? I'm the only one that's online going, yeah, amen. But you can because you're not here. You're behind the safety of your keyboard. John chapter 21 is the account where Peter has reverted back to being Simon. What happened in John chapter 21 is the last chapter of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the Gospels, bang, John chapter 21, the last chapter. It accounts for Peter, who has now denied Jesus 3 times after Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'm going to go to the cross. They're going to crucify me. And then people are going to ask you whether you know me. You're going to say no. The rooster is going to crow 3 times. And that'll be it. You'll actually deny me and you'll let yourself down. To which Peter said, no way. I will never do that, Jesus. How many of you say that to Jesus all the time? Jesus, I will never do that again. Next minute, you do it. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'll never do that again. Next minute, I'll do it. Peter was that kind of guy. I reckon if Peter made like a New Year's resolution, he would break it by the 4th of January, I reckon. His intentions were far greater than his capacity to outwork his intentions. So he was Peter. He's gone back to being a fisherman. And Jesus has now been crucified, but Peter is petrified. And there's some slave girls that corner Peter and say, are you one of these guys that have been with Jesus? Aren't you one of his disciples and followers? To which Peter said, no, I don't know anything about him. So he's denied Jesus 3 times. So he's feeling disappointed in his own self for letting Jesus down. And in John 21, it says this, after these things, Jesus, now who is risen, the resurrected Savior, showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself, Simon Peter. Notice how Peter's gone back to his old name because, you know, when you let yourself down, you like to go back to your past. Hello. Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Not a bad idea when you're feeling low is to go fishing. That's what I do. On Monday mornings, after I get the stats for church. I'm joking. I'm only kidding. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So here's Peter. He's denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus is now risen from the dead. We're not talking about Jesus being like the carpenter from Galilee anymore. He is now the risen king. Do you understand that? Yeah. He shows up to the shores of Galilee. right, where Peter has gone back fishing. Now, you would have thought that Peter would have looked at Jesus and said, oh, Jesus, it's so good to see you. I'm so sorry. You were actually right. I did deny you 3 times. Jesus shows up at the shores of Galilee and Peter doesn't even recognize him. Now, if Jesus had any pride, he would have thought, I'm just going to stand here at the shores and I'm going to make Peter come to me because he denied me 3 times. He's going to have to be the first to say sorry. I'm not going to talk to him until he approaches me first. Have you done that to people? Hello? Some of you spouses did that to each other before Stronger Marriages Retreat. Now you're better now. But we do that to people. Our pride tells us that, oh, you know, they're the one that offended me. They get to experience the fallout. Teach them a lesson. They're messing with the wrong people. But they've been fishing all night, toiling. John chapter 21. So Jesus turns up to the shores of Galilee again. It says, Peter, cast your net on the other side. They caught 153 fish. It sounds a little bit like Luke chapter 5. Jesus took Peter back to beginnings. The first time that Peter and Jesus met, Peter had been fishing all night, docked his boat, washed his nets. Jesus said, row out again. Put out all your nets. He filled his nets with fish. And then Jesus said, follow me, Peter. I'll make you fishers of men. Fast forward many years. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus takes Peter back to beginnings. Take me back to beginnings. What a great song. Jensen wrote that song. Just a little side note there. Dad brag. No pride. The youth EP's coming out is going to be incredible. So Jesus takes him back to beginnings. The risen king was the first to cross the room. Rolls his sleeves up. This is a risen savior. He's the king of kings. Cleans fish. Gets down in the dirt. Cooks breakfast. Says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I do. For every single time that Peter denied him, Jesus crossed the room for him. Some of you are thinking, oh, no. If you only knew what they did, it was very unjust. If you only knew what she said, it was very unkind. If you only knew the gossip, what they spread, it was very uncalled for. No. Oi. Jesus crossed the room for you when you were at your filthiest. Hello. Jesus crossed the room for you when you were at your worst. Jesus crossed the room for you when you were at your vilest. Let's be the first to cross the room. And the only thing that's going to stop you is your pride. Deal with your pride and you will always be the first to cross the room. The whole thing of they should be the first to apologize. They should be the first to. That's very un-Christ-like. We want to call ourselves Christian, but it's harder to be Christ-like. Hello? You guys getting so quiet? This is a discipleship message. If you want to have healthy relationships around you, if you want to be known as that man or that woman who's got a legacy of healthy relationships, be that guy or that girl, that man or that woman that determines in yourself, I am always going to be the one to be the first to cross the room. I'm always going to be the one to be the first to cross the room for my spouse. I'm always going to be the one to be the first to cross the room for my kids. I'm always going to be the one to be the first to cross the room because Jesus was the first to cross the room for me. I was a Zacchaeus once. I stood up on a sycamore tree, not quite sure about this Christianity thing. I was checking out these Christians once before. I was on the outside once before. I was rich in materially maybe, but not rich relationally. I was a Zacchaeus once, and yet Jesus crossed the room for me. He called me for who I could be, not for who I was. Maybe it's time that the church becomes again an entity, a body of people that is known to be the first to cross the room. Be the first to cross the room for that person that you know that's moved in 4 houses down your street. Go knock on their door. Hello, how are you? The only thing that's going to stop you is your self-consciousness or your ego or your pride. What are they anyway? Jesus died and rose again for you. Come on. Be the first to cross the room. Musicians, you can join me. When I think about how powerful crossing the room for someone first is, think about your own life. Someone crossed the room for you. Someone crossed the room for you. All it takes is just to be able to look up and see. Look up and see. When you come to a room like this in church, do you look up and see? Or you do look in and expect people to? Come on. This stuff grows us up. This stuff makes us into the Christ followers that He's died and risen again for us to become. When I think about the people that have crossed the room for me, I think about the youth leaders that crossed the room for me when I was an awkward migrant teenager. I think about the times when I felt that I don't fit anywhere. Someone crossed the room for me. And even now, I'm a church pastor, and I just told you that story, Fiona and SK, they crossed the room for me. How much that touched me. That someone would just actually ask, how are you doing? How are your kids? I don't want anything from you. I care about you. Why can't you be the first to cross the room for somebody else? This is what I know. This is what I know. If we're to truly live our lives devoid of our own ego, fully God conscious, walking in humility, we're going to be known as that man or that woman that someone will speak about one day to say, I'm only here today because Hannah Beetham was the first to cross the room for me. When she said hello and spoke to me, it sparked something in me. We've become friends ever since. She's been such a profound impact. I'm like, come on, are you out there? But it will never happen. We will always remain small and insular and live a fruitless life if we're never the first to cross the room. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that? Was that helpful to you guys?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.